Hi, everybody. It's Joanna. Welcome, welcome. I can't believe it's already our third class. And today we're still in our listening skills module, and we're going to be stepping into our second listening skills call. Before we look at all of that, just a couple of housekeeping pieces, a couple of quick things. First of all, I know that a lot of you are chomping at the bit to just get more of the details around the certification. And if we have time at the end of this call, I'll go into the details then. But if not, I'll do a little Facebook Live or video later today. I'll post it in the Facebook group, and it'll just give you all of the details that you need to know for the certification, and if you have any questions, you can just let me know. I know that some of you already have been looking for the homework logs and all of that in the membership center, and I'll review all of that when I go through the certification pieces. But just so you know, the logs are now up in the membership center, and I'm sorry for any confusion around that. It's such a great lesson, just to kind of bring in everything we've been talking about so far. It's such a great lesson around containers, right? So usually on the very first call, I have always given all of the information about the certification and all of the different things in order to set that tight container. And this year I experimented with something different. I thought, oh, there's so much information, logistical information to give them. Let me kind of parcel it out over the first few calls. And obviously that did not work the right way because a lot of people got curious and wanted to know right away. So I apologize for that, and hopefully just that little tiny little leak in the container is not too annoying for you. I'll get you all of the information on that later today. The next thing that I just wanted to briefly mention is the Facebook group. So just to remind you that it's there for you to participate in. It's there to share takeaways and to share what you're noticing for yourself and your practice. It's there to ask questions. And it's there for you guys to connect with each other. The more that you participate in the Facebook group, the more I also get to know you better, and the better that I know you, the better that I can support you with what you really want. I know that December is a crazy month, so busy, lots of things going on, and holidays for many people. It's kind of sometimes hard to get there. Or you may just not be a Facebook person, which I totally honor, right? Back to coaching the what based on the who. Your who just may not be to share in that way. And if that's true for you and you're getting what you need otherwise, awesome. But if you want more interaction with me, please, feel free to participate there. I love showing up in the Facebook group. A couple of you have asked about scheduling one-on-one sessions, and that is something that is available to you. I don't do this for anyone, in the public, but because you're in the program, you actually have the opportunity to just book single sessions as you wish. There's a link for that in the member center. They're 45-minute sessions, and let me just tell you real quickly about them since a bunch of you have asked. So you can book a 45-minute private one-on-one session with me, and when people book sessions with me, it's either to go deeper in terms of coaching presence or coaching skills. If you have questions about particular clients or curriculum, and any of those pieces that we're looking at in this training, and then also, for some people, if you want some support on your business, on your messaging, on how you're setting up your programming, strategy, anything like that, you can set up a session with me. If you are just starting out in your business and you want business support, you want one-on-one business, first of all, listen to the modules, all the bonus materials I've given you in your sacred business. There's a lot there. But if you want further support on the marketing pieces, the messaging, all of that, and you're starting out in your business or close to starting out in your business, you're kind of newer, there's the option to set up a 45-minute one-on-one call with one of my team members, and that might be a better option for you simply because it's more cost-effective. If you're more advanced in your business and you're earning, I would say definitely set the call up with me if we're looking at advanced strategies. But if it's more of the basics, I don't want you to spend money I'd love to talk to you, but I think it makes more sense to speak with one of my team members. Again, first listen to all of the bonus materials I've given you. There's so much in there. And for those of you that, signed up while the bonuses were still available for this program, remember we're going this month. We've got two marketing message calls where you'll get to connect with me on your messaging. So, hold on for that as well. We'll be sending out information about that soon. And then the last housekeeping piece that I just wanted to mention, hopefully all of you received a message from me in your inbox this morning. There's still a couple of spots that I feel I really are open and available in this training and the certification that I would really like to fill with like-minded, incredible people. You've already kind of just toe-dipped a little in here, so you know what we're doing here. If you're loving this and you know some individuals that would really love this too, I would just be so appreciative if you'd let them know. And of course, there's a gift for you for anyone you refer as well. Okay, I think that's it for the housekeeping, so let's dive in. The first listening tool that we're going to be looking at today, it's another obvious one, but it's one that I want to spend a bit of time on and really unpack and help you get to the subtleties of this tool so that you can operate with it and listen on a whole different and much more powerful level. So whenever we are listening, no matter who or what we're listening to, whether it's in our sessions or in conversation with friends or listening to somebody on the radio, whenever we're listening, we're actually never listening with clean ears unless we clean our ears first. We're never actually listening with clean ears unless we clean our ears first. We're never actually able to hear fully what the other person is saying and to hear the layers beneath it until we recognize that whenever we're listening to someone or to something, we're coming to that listening experience with all of our own filters and all of our own biases. And all of those experiences, all of those filters, all of those biases can either help us listen really, really well. They can actually help us listen very masterfully. Or those experiences and filters and biases can become a major, major obstacle to truly hearing what your clients are saying. And seeing who your clients are. So those filters, biases, experiences, it can go either way. They can either be a great support or a great obstacle in terms of listening. Our filters and our biases are part and parcel of any conversation that we have, any learning experience we have, really any experience that we have, period. So what are these filters and these biases that I'm talking about? Well, they are the sum of all of the beliefs, all of the perspectives, and all of the understandings that we have about pretty much everything. And all of that's based on our past experiences and our backgrounds. And because these filters and these biases are so deeply embedded inside of us, unless we do the work to become aware of those filters, they end up unchecked, and we're not aware of them, and then we're not listening with clean ears. So let me give you some examples so that you can start to understand a little bit more what I'm talking about here. For example, if you are part of a religion or subscribe to a religion, your religion is a filter. So if you grew up, let's say, Catholic, and particularly if you still practice Catholicism, when you listen to other people, when you experience the world, you're likely listening through a Catholic filter, whether you realize it or not. The part of the world that you live in is a filter, particularly if you've lived in a certain area for your entire life. So when you listen to other people, you're listening through an urban filter or a suburban filter or an American filter or a southern filter. So if you've always lived in an urban environment, for example, you're literally going to hear information and make assumptions about that information based on that urban filter. And I'll give you an example of this. Because I lived in Manhattan and Brooklyn for so long, until I kind of checked that filter, whenever I would hear people talking about traffic, I just naturally assumed that the kind of traffic they were talking about was that, if you've ever lived in the city, you know what I'm talking about, that crazy, intense gridlock traffic where maybe you only have to get somewhere that's half a mile away, but it could take an hour to get there because of traffic, right? And it wasn't until I moved to the South, it wasn't until I moved to Charlotte that I realized that most people, when they talk about traffic, yeah, it might be a little bit annoying. They might end up somewhere 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later than they had intended, but it wasn't that level of traffic, right? So I had that urban, that real like New York filter. Here's some other examples. If you've been thin your whole entire life, chances are that you automatically move through your life and listen with a thin filter. If that filter isn't checked, then you're going to make assumptions about other people's experiences based on your thin filter. Here's another example. If you've been healthy your entire life, you are going to make assumptions about other people's experiences based on your healthy filter. And this is one that hit me like a ton of bricks when I first started my first business. I had a business partner who's amazing, but she had a chronic illness. And even though I had grown up with a parent that had a chronic illness, because I've generally been healthy up until that point for my entire life, there were some ways where my healthy filter was checked, but there were a number of ways that my healthy filter was unchecked completely, that I was unaware of. And what happened in that working relationship with my business partner, she has lupus, and, you know, we would meet and we would both come up with action steps for the business. And then, you know, what would often happen is we would check in a couple days later, I would get all of my action steps done, and she wouldn't have gotten her action steps done. And she would talk about, you know, not feeling well, but because I just didn't understand the experience of having a chronic illness and how that can slow you down, how that can slow down your pace, how, you know, you may wake up a certain day having planned on doing X amount of work and then not being able to do it all at all. It went on for months where I would get so frustrated with her because I felt like she was just breaking promises that she couldn't keep. And of course, without realizing it, she was saying that she would get things done based on my healthy filter because she didn't want to let me down, right? It was such a great learning experience for me when I finally could understand the filter that I was listening with there. We were able to readjust her expectations, and we got so much more done because of it. You know, and I use that now in my coaching practice all the time. If I'm working with someone and they have health issues, they end up getting so much more done in their work with me than with other coaches because it's a filter that I'm really sensitive to, and I get it, and I can work with it now instead of it being unchecked. Money is another great example of a filter, right? So, for example, you know, if you in your business, let's say you're a business coach, and you just assume that everybody wants to make six figures or seven figures because that's what you want. You want to be earning six figures, seven figures more. That's a filter that you'll find that not all entrepreneurs are necessarily interested in that. But if you haven't checked that filter, if you're not showing up with those clean ears, you're going to end up making a lot of false assumptions there. You know, things like relationships, right? I noticed once in working with a client that one of my filters around relationships was that you need to go really slow before you decide to get married, right? That's like the safest way because that's what I had done for myself. That's what I had seen for friends. That's what my parents did. That was a filter of like what it takes before you get to actually getting engaged. I had a client who went through this whirlwind romance, and it was like 2 weeks, you know, in our coaching sessions, she was sharing this with me that I realized I was making judgments and making assumptions about her experience or what was right for her simply because I had this filter. If you are someone who is just really quick-paced and is a get-it-done gal and gets things done really quickly, that may be a filter for you. If everybody in your family has gone to college, then you're going to listen with kind of a everybody goes to college filter. And if that filter goes unchecked, you will either make an assumption that a client has gone to college, or you may not realize that it's a really big deal if they decide to pursue a master's degree or, you know, whatever it is for them. I'll give you one more example, and hopefully you're starting to get what I mean by these filters. One more example. So for me, just without getting too much into my personal history because of how I grew up and my mother's illness and, you know, some pieces just around my own self-identity, my hair is really important to me. I know that sounds really funny, but for a while I was losing my hair, and it really, like, I had this filter that my attractiveness is a little bit based on my hair. And a while back I started working with a female client who had actually lost all of her hair through a trauma. And I caught myself, thankfully, it was somewhere in the middle of our first session, but because of my filter around hair, I made the assumption that she was struggling with her loss of hair and that it was playing into maybe some of her visibility issues in her business, but that was just my filter. That was just the beliefs and my own beliefs and my own assumptions, my struggle that I was bringing in. Thank goodness I caught myself, you know, pretty quickly in that filter, and then it was so much easier to see actually, you know, some of the other visibility issues that she, you know, the roots of it. So I want to be clear. It's not that filters are bad. They're not bad at all. And it's not that filters prevent you from being an incredibly masterful and amazing listener. Not at all. In fact, your filters have the power to help you understand, to listen better, to understand the layers beneath the layers of what your client is sharing. Your filters actually have the power to help you really get someone way more quickly than the time it would take for them to explain all about themselves or their situations. You know, and your filters are really what allow you to have a lot of wisdom about your clients' situations. Your filters are super, super, super powerful. So, for example, if you are a working mother, if you, you know, let's say you're working and you also have young kids, then you get the struggle, right? If you are working with another working mother that has kids, or if you're working with someone who has a job and has an ailing parent, right, a sick parent, your filter there, it's going to help you so much to get that person so much quickly, to hear them so much better, and you're probably going to have amazing tips and suggestions for them too. If you've lived before in a foreign country, right, if you've let's say you've moved around a lot as a child or lived somewhere else, you know, if you have a client that's in a transition like that or have had that experience, right, that filter is going to help you so much. Filters really can help us listen more effectively, but only if we are 100% fully aware of our filters. Only if we go into our conversations with our clients understanding that we have these filters, only if we don't take these filters for granted or let them slip into our unconscious. It's when we take our filters for granted, it's when we haven't become aware of the filters, and it's when we haven't questioned our filters that we get blocked in our listening, that we make false assumptions, that we stop hearing the important details. When we're not aware of our own filters, and when we're not aware of our clients' filters, that's another piece of listening, we'll get to that. When we're not aware of our clients' filters, then we also run the risk of coaching the what without basing it on the who. So I'll give you a quick example of that. It's actually a parenting example, but I feel like parenting and coaching, you know, are so similar. So you can, you know, you can use the law of adaptation there. But so when I, you know, when I was younger, all through my school years, I was just and still am a type A personality, all about getting, you know, 100% on the test, all about getting straight A's, all about being a little bit the goody-goody in class. And so when Pamina, my 10-year-old, didn't so much care about her schoolwork, maybe was, you know, she wasn't doing her, I was going to say maybe wasn't doing her, she was not doing her homework or doing it, but, like, not, you know, to its fullest extent. Not putting as much focus on her schoolwork, when I first tried to parent that, it was with this unchecked filter, right, with this filter of, but of course she would want to be the top student in the class. And that unchecked filter really stood in the way of me being able to support her. When I was finally able to check that filter and get that, she actually wasn't operating from that place. She was operating from a place of she wanted to do really well in school, but she had other interests that were actually way more important to her. Then I was actually able so much better to support her to get her homework done because I wasn't doing it from the assumption that she wanted to be the best in the class. So what we're really talking about here is the ability to really see your clients with full clarity and not through the distortion of your filters, right? Until I checked that filter with Pamina, with my daughter, I actually wasn't fully seeing her. She was showing me. She was showing me herself. She was sharing, but I wasn't fully seeing her, right? And we're back to what we looked at last week about one of the biggest needs for anyone is that need to be seen, heard, and loved. So just to be clear, it is completely 100% okay if you don't have all of the same exact filters as your clients. You're never going to. You can have different filters and still really see and hear your clients, but again, only if you do your work around your filters and clean your ears in that way. Okay, so what is the work of checking your filters? Number one, and you'll get this as a homework assignment in one of the sheets, to really become aware of your own filters. You know, we can't be exhaustive here because each one of us has thousands of filters. But in the homework sheet, I ask you, you know, some questions. And you know, if there's nothing else that you do for homework, the one thing that I really recommend that you do is, you know, one of the questions that's towards the end of the worksheet is pick three of your filters, and I give you lots of different examples so that you can kind of, you know, find some, but pick three of your filters, and then for each filter, what I want you to do is I want you to list out the biases and the beliefs that you've acquired as a result of that filter, right? So if one of your filters is that you've been healthy all of your life, what are the biases and the beliefs that you've acquired because of that? That might be unchecked, right? Because we don't want you bringing those biases and beliefs because of the filter into your coaching conversations. If your parents are divorced, that might be a filter. Or if you're divorced, that might be a filter. What are the biases and beliefs that you've acquired as a result of that filter? This is just this one little piece of work. First of all, you will see so much around your limiting beliefs and hopefully some beliefs that you didn't even realize were swimming around for you. So just on a personal level, it's immense personal work to just to answer that simple question. But you will also start to see how you bring some of this into your conversations, whether it's with clients or friends, you know, whatever it is, like how you're interacting with the world based on all of this. It will also help you, just simply by doing this, it will help you start to get better at hearing your clients. Filters. And that's the other piece of the work here, is to start taking note of your client's filters. So you want to be aware of your own filters, and you want to take note of your client's filters. All of this will help you hear and listen so much better. The other piece around filters that I want to mention is part of checking your own filters and part of taking note of your client's filters is for you as the coach, as the practitioner, to activate the highest level of empathy for your clients and for yourself. So this is the Merriam-Webster's definition of empathy. I really love this because it relates so much to everything that we're talking about today. So the definition of empathy in Merriam-Webster's is this: the action of understanding, being aware of, being sensitive to, and vicariously experiencing the feelings, thoughts, an experience of another, of either the past or present, without having the feelings, thoughts, and experience fully communicated in an objectively explicit manner. In other words, one of the best ways to use all of this information that I'm sharing about filters, once you can become aware of your own filters, take note of your client's filters, the way to have empathy for them is to put yourself in their shoes. This is a tool that I use that is vital to my listening skills. It helps me hear and see my clients so much better when I can put myself in their shoes. And I, for me, you can do whatever works for you, I literally imagine myself looking through their eyes and hearing through their ears. So, for example, my parents are not divorced. I am married and I'm not divorced. I don't have that experience. I don't have that filter. Not to say there haven't been plenty of problems in my marriage, but this is sorry for another time. But my point is, if I am working with a client who has divorce as a filter, I want to look through their eyes, and even if I don't understand the whole experience, I want to empathize as much as I can, and I'm going to do that by trying to really hear through their ears based on their experience. And again, you know, sometimes what can help with this empathy, with helping with putting yourself in another person's shoes if you don't have their filter, is finding a similar filter that can help you with this. So, for example, I'm not particularly a pet person. Because of other people I've lived with, animals through the years, cats, basically. I like cats, I like animals, but I'm not like one of those diehard pet people. So my natural filter, without me checking that filter, is to not think of pet issues as a big deal, right? If that filter is unchecked, if a client has a sick cat or a sick dog, and this happened, you know, in the beginning. I know it seems like a trivial example, but hopefully you can use law of adaptation here. You know, like, oh, the cat is sick. Like, because of my filter, it didn't feel like a big deal to me. But once I became aware of it, I could use, I have a filter just around family illness because my mother has been sick my whole life. I know what that feels like, right? So I can kind of use that filter as a stand-in to start to understand the feelings, to hear and see my client better. So take a moment now and write down for yourself, what's one example of when you've had an unchecked filter and it's really blocked you from fully hearing or seeing the other person? What's one time when you've had an unchecked filter and it's blocked you from really hearing or seeing the other person, the client? Just take a moment and note that. And then take a moment and think of one filter. And if you're working with clients, really think about this in the client sense. And, you know, maybe this helps. If it's with more than one client, I want you to note this for yourself. What's a filter that really helps you listen and understand your clients better? If you're not working with clients, you know, it can be your friends. What's one, like one of your most powerful filters that actually helps you really see and hear and understand people so much better? Now, here's the next piece that I want to share about this. This is really important. Unchecked filters lead to unchecked biases. I'm going to say this again. Unchecked filters lead to unchecked biases and to unchecked beliefs. In addition to your filters, you don't want to be bringing any unchecked biases or beliefs into your session. And let me give you some examples of this. So, for example, if you're thin, what do you think about people that aren't thin, right? Just real honest with yourself around some of those biases. If you're Christian, what do you think about people who aren't Christian? If you are not a person of color, what do you think about people of color? If your parents weren't divorced, what are the assumptions, what are the unchecked biases and beliefs that you're making about what divorce means? So I want you to just start to lean in to some of this. This is very much related. I'm really happy and excited to, you know, one of our bonus calls with our guest faculty, Makeda Penny Cook, is we're going to be looking at bias and issues of race and privilege and how it works its way into our practice and really what to do with it. And this is the starting point for that, right? Really being willing to understand that our filters, when they've gone unchecked, they've created certain beliefs and assumptions that we may not even realize that we have. And when we bring those into our sessions, all of a sudden things are not as welcoming or nurturing as they could be, and also we're not seeing and hearing as well as we can. And then, of course, you know, oftentimes a big part of our work as coaches is to help our clients become aware of their own filters and their own biases and their own beliefs. We'll get to that in our next module when we come to creating awareness skills. All right, I've still got a lot for today, but I know I just, you know, this piece around filters is really big, and I'd love to hear from some of you what you're seeing, examples of filters, what's coming together for you around filters and listening, or any questions that you have. So star two. What's coming together for you here? All right. Sophia.
Oh, hi. Hi, Joanna. So, yeah, I found a really huge filter for myself. And so do we just share what we learned?
Whatever you want to share. What's a, like, what's one potent takeaway or something that you're seeing?
Oh, okay. So I realized in my coaching that I've been, I had this huge filter around childhood, like other people's childhood stuff, because I often kind of like compare it to my own and I say, oh, that's actually a pretty good one, but, you know, compared to mine. But then what I'm missing is that, you know, just because, you know, it was better than mine doesn't mean the other person feels like it was good. Like, it wasn't good enough for them. So I had this huge, like, filter. That's, like, actually probably my biggest filter. And, I think that that was, like, such so potent because it made me I'm judging, you know?
Yes, I can actually, I can feel that that's actually going to be game-changing for your coaching, right? Because it's going to allow you now to have so much more empathy for clients that maybe haven't gone through what you've gone through but are still really struggling, and it's going to help you support them even more powerfully now. Beautiful, really beautifully done. Thank you for sharing that. All right, Kara.
Hi, Joanna. I had a question, actually, which is when you're onto a filter and you also have an instinct about what might be going on for a client, but you know that it might be a projection or coming from your filter, what's a skillful way to communicate that?
Yeah, it's such a great question. It's so funny. I had that in my notes, and for whatever reason, I decided to skip over it for today, so I'm glad you're asking it. So what you want to do when that comes up is you want to say, you know, I think there's something that I'm hearing here. It might just be my own belief. So I want to share with you and tell me if I'm getting this right. Right? So it's like, this is what I'm hearing. It may not be, but let me know. And that's a great way to help create, if it is, a great way to help create awareness, but also a great way, even if what you're hearing isn't what the client means, just your sharing of that, most of the time will be like, you know, the client will say, you know, it's not that, but actually what it is, and then they'll get deeper into articulating for themselves and for you what's going on. Is that helpful?
Yeah, and I think the idea is to keep, you know, you don't, I find myself sometimes wanting to empathize and share a story of, well, this happened to me and this is why I think that, but to not necessarily go into your own story, but just to say this is what.
Yeah. No, and I think that's okay.
Sensing
and again, if the filter is checked, right? So if you, so if the filter is unchecked, you might just go into sharing that story and assume that it's appropriate and you go from there. If the filter is, if you're checking your filter, then first of all, inside your head, you're already going to be better at knowing whether or not it's appropriate for the person.
Yeah.
And then if it passes that test inside your head and you choose to share it, you can say, this is my experience. It may not be the same for you, but tell me what from this resonates for you, if anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does this bring up for you? Okay, good. I'm so glad you brought that forward. Yeah, you're welcome. Kelsey.
Hi, Joanna. What's coming up for me is I literally got off a call right before this where, wow, did I have some filters at play, and I feel kind of bad about it because it does, the other word for filters when it's, well, at least the way it felt for me was like a little like judgmental, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was trying to be helpful, but I was also totally in judgment, actually, now that I step back. And then I provided, some ease for this person. Basically, this is not the whole thing, but one thing is, she just moved into this very, 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 very big $2.5 million house, and it was arguing with her cleaner about $70, right? What is it worth for her to pay for 2 hours of cleaning or whatever? And I was like, oh, my God. My filter was it feels so much better to be generous. Right, you should like step into generosity, because what I was also seeing was like a constriction for her, right? And so, to step into the flow of open-heartedness and generosity is kind of where I would go, but that comes from my filter. So what do you do?
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, so let's say you were to have checked that filter on the call. This is such a great example. So just bring yourself back into that conversation with her. So now that you see this is your, your filter, where is your curiosity leading you? What are you curious about now for this client? What would you want to ask her?
I guess I would want to ask her to explain, to feel more deeply what the real fear is, because she's obviously feeling some fear.
Yeah. So do you see how that would probably be so much more productive in the session?
Yeah. And I did that. She feels a fear that people want to take advantage of her now that she is showing that she has more money by being in a big house. So that's the fear, but I guess I could have gone deeper.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah, I think if that judgment would have been taken away, you could have gone deeper, both because of where your curiosity would lead you, right? Because when there's judgment, it just cuts off curiosity. The same way that an agenda, it's almost a little bit like you had an agenda there too, right? It's like that all cuts off curiosity. So you would have gone deeper because you would have been able to ask better questions based on your curiosity. But the other thing that you would have been able to do that would have allowed you to go deeper is accept her even more fully for who she is.
Yeah.
And she would have felt that, right? Because energy follows. It's not even anything you would have said necessarily, or maybe it would, but energy follows energy. She would have felt more seen and heard and loved and accepted, and that would have allowed her to open up to the next place based on whatever the questions were. Did that land for you?
Yes, totally. And I just listened to the last half of the last week last night, so I was really in this space of listening and energy and all of that, and so I was, like, really trying.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a great, it doesn't sound like that session was a fail for you at all.
No.
But you're picking up some new pieces here, which is great.
Yeah, and just the more we can sort of learn this tool of recognizing, oh, this is a trigger or I'm in a filter, I need to just breathe and reground myself.
Yeah.
And be more open and accepting. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautifully said.
Mm-hmm.
Beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great. Anyone else? Anything that you want to share? Anything that's coming through for you that feels important, or any questions? This piece around filters is really important, so that's why I'm just pausing for a little bit longer on this. And I love the shares that are coming through. I feel like they're just great learning examples for us to go deeper in all of this. No one else? All right, so let's continue. I would love for you, speaking of the Facebook group, though, I'd love for you to post takeaways around this, and just also what comes through the homework, because the homework will take you deeper with the filters too. Okay. So what I want to spend the rest of the call on is talking about or looking at what to listen for. What to listen for. And I've divided this, I'm going to just give you a whole lot of different things and explain them on what to listen for. I've sort of divided it into three categories because I'm like such a Virgo and I need everything in its own neat little, you know, category in place. But the truth is, don't get too caught up on the categories because I think that there can be a little overlap and they can be a little interchangeable, but I'm still using the categories because it just helps my little neat frame of mind. So what are some things that you want to really be aware of and listening for in your coaching sessions and also in any interactions with your clients, right? In the email exchanges that you share, you know, there's a lot of listening that happens when you're communicating via email, right? And also, again, you know, I'll throw this in there. I think I mentioned this already in the training. These skills that we're looking at, you want to use them on your sales calls too. Everything, the energetics, the listening, you know, all of the pieces that we're going to be looking at. Okay, so what to listen for? So category number one, I'm calling it things that tell you about your client's presence. Things that tell you about your client's presence. So, for example, you want to be listening for your client's emotional state. You know, I don't have to explain why this is important, but I'll just give an example. A client can come to a session and say, let's say they're working on their business. You know, they could say, I didn't fill my program that I was wanting to fill. Well, the client could be completely upset about it, right? But the client could be completely fine, right? It all depends on their emotional state. So first of all, you want to check your filters and your biases, because if you've got a filter around, oh my God, it's awful if I don't fill a thing, you know, you're going to bring that to your client. But they might just be fine about it. Your awareness of their emotional state allows you to respond more powerfully. Or, you know, another reason why it's important to listen for an emotional state is, you know, a client might come in wanting to talk about they're looking for a solution to a problem. About whatever it is, so, you know, something with a relationship or a project that they're working on or, you know, whatever it is. But you tune in to their emotional state, maybe even as they're setting intentions for the call or, you know, soon thereafter, and you hear that this client is actually really scattered or sounds really angry about something else. That probably needs to be addressed first, whatever's happening there, before you can look for the solution. So when I say it probably needs to be addressed first, it might mean that you just have to spend however much time on it, 20 minutes, whole session, whatever it is, that's what's important for that day. It might mean that you just need to kind of call out the elephant in the room, right, and just mention, you know, it sounds like you're really angry about X or Y. Is that something that you want to, it might be helpful for us to take a look at that, or is it enough just for, you know, to honor that that's happening and now we want to look for this solution to this other thing? Or it might mean that there's a connection between the two, right, but you want to check for that emotional state. Still in this category of listening for client's presence, another thing you want to listen for is how engaged is my client with what he's talking about. So if your client is talking about, I want to get into a new relationship, right, or whatever the project is, but they don't sound that excited about it, they don't sound engaged with it, that's a clue, right, that you're going to want to bring in, create awareness around one way or another. You want to listen for silence. So silence, in my book, is really, it's important. And we, as coaches and practitioners, we really want to take note of silence when there's silence in the session. So sometimes if you ask a client a question and they get really quiet, or you're in the middle of a conversation, they get really quiet, sometimes it might mean that they're confused or triggered, et cetera, and you definitely want to deal with that and work with that. But what I find is that 9 times out of 10, when I ask a question or when just in the midst of a conversation, a client gets really quiet or there's a pause, there's a silence, 9 times out of 10, it actually means that my client is deep in thought or in process or has had a really big breakthrough or aha moment. And that silence is like they're kind of taking it in. It's sort of processing inside of them. This is a really good thing. I mention this, though, because oftentimes practitioners get nervous when there's silence, particularly if you're working over the phone and you don't have the visual cues that you might have if you're in person with someone. And this is just a little bit of a reminder to not be afraid of silence, to not rush your clients, to give them space, that oftentimes the silence is good. You want to listen. This is more looking than listening, but I'm putting it in listening skills. If you are in person with your client, you know, any of those visual cues, right, the expression on their face, how they're holding their body, how they're sitting, how they're standing, that will tell you a lot about your client's presence. That will tell you a lot about how they're feeling or what they're thinking. You want to listen for your client's pacing. Are they talking really quickly? Are they talking slowly? Is it a weird, inconsistent rhythm that they're speaking in? This is going to give you a lot of information to help you hear and see your client, to really understand more, to really be there fully present with them, right? If your client is usually a fast talker, then you know that she's someone who thinks quickly, acts quickly, right? That's great information for you to have. If she's usually a fast talker and all of a sudden she's really slowed down her pace, chances are it's kind of a moment to pay extra special attention to what she's saying. It's something really important to her. It's a new thing that she's learning. If your client is normally has a slower pace to things, it may give you the information that she's a deep processor, that she really takes her time and is thorough with things. She's a deep thinker. Maybe, right? If your client's pace is usually slow, but in a particular session it's really fast, that's really an important listening piece for you too, because it probably means that she's either really excited about something or nervous about something, right? So for pacing, you want to, you kind of know what the client's baseline is or what their usual is, and you want to notice inconsistencies there. It's going to give you a lot of information. Same with your client's tone, right? Back to I didn't fill my program. You know, the tone will tell you so much about what the client is thinking and feeling. Another thing to listen for when it comes to your client's presence, I call it your client's essential nature. So this is something that I'm listening for, you know, from the moment we're having our enrollment conversation, right? What is this client's essential nature? It has a little bit to do with what they say, but it also has a lot to do with how they say it. Is this client essentially a positive person, or does he tend towards negativity? Is this client kind of bitchy and judgmental? Right? And again, not good or bad, but the more we know about our client's essential nature, the more that we can check our filters and see through their filters, and the more we can support them, right? Is your client's essential nature to kind of be sensitive to things? That's going to help you a lot when it comes to knowing how to talk to them, how to create awareness. Does your client tend to be a little bit harsh? Is your client touchy-feely? Is she matter of fact, right? So you want to take note of these things. And then again, you want to take note of inconsistencies. If you know your client's essential nature to be positive and she shows up for a session and it's like everything is totally negative, you're going to handle that a little bit differently than a client whose essential nature is negative, right? There's something different going on there. You want that information. Or, you know, the other thing is so that you can note progress, right? So it's not just about noting if something is off, but it's about noting if there's progress. If you have a client whose essential nature is to kind of be victim-y and complainy and negative, and you notice maybe two sessions in a row that the energy has changed, there's a lot of positivity, well, first of all, that lets you know that progress is happening there, but second of all, you want to create awareness around that for your client. You want to acknowledge them for that. We'll get to creating awareness next module, but hopefully that makes sense what I'm saying. And then the other piece in this first category around presence that you want to listen for, call it how connected the client feels to you as the coach. So that's something that I'm always tracking is, you know, does my client feel connected? Do I sense that this client feels connected to me? Obviously, I'm looking for that at the beginning of the relationship, and that lets me know a lot about the client. It also lets me know do I need to do more work for this person to feel connected? But I'm also looking for changes there, right? If a client that has felt, you know, really connected to me all of a sudden on a call, I feel, it feels like there's a disconnection here between us. You know, that's an important thing to take note of and maybe to create awareness around. So that's first category, client's presence. The next category, and again, you know, these are not so, these can be a little mix and match, but the next category, I'm calling it apparent clues. So listening for just things that are sort of there on the surface. So for example, you want to be listening for, the way my client is talking about their goals and commitments, does it match her behavior, or is there a mismatch between how she's behaving and then what her goals and her commitments are? You want to be listening for what's motivating your client. This is a really important one. It's not enough to just note that your client is motivated to do something. You want to understand what is motivating her. You want to listen for that, ask questions about that, right? What is motivating this client? And I mean that both in the, like, when you're motivated about something to want to do something, but also just motivating a certain thought or a feeling or a certain fear or whatever it is. You want to listen for what's the motivation behind it. The more you understand the motivation behind it, which is essentially like, what's the why behind it, right? W-H-Y. What's the deep why behind this? Then the more you can really work with it, with your client. You want to be listening for specific language and terminology that your client uses. And we'll talk in later calls about when to use that, the same languaging that your client uses, and when to divert from that. But for right now, I just want to bring attention, for example, if a client uses the word passion versus the word desire, I know it's so subtle, but there's a difference between those two things. You want to make note of that. If your client uses the term partner versus husband, or husband versus partner, you want to make note of that language. If the client uses the word heavy versus overweight versus fat, you want to make note of that language. It will tell you a lot about your client's filters. And even though there's subtle differences in the examples that I'm giving, those subtle differences actually can mean a lot to a client and in how you work with him or her, right? So you want to listen for that, the specific language and terminology. This next one is so important. These are all really important, but the next one is, you want to listen for your client's strength. So what oftentimes happens is, because it's human nature for us to see what's wrong with things, particularly in ourselves, right? Like, we're just programmed generally to see what's wrong versus to see what's right. It is part of the human condition, and it serves us, right? I mean, it definitely serves to see what's wrong more than seeing what's right, or what's weak more than seeing what's strong. But if you're going to approach your work with clients from a growth mindset, which I really do, growth mindset is essentially, helping them grow, then one of the kind of most core components to creating a growth mindset, to co-creating a growth mindset for clients, or for anyone, for yourself for that matter, is to build off of strengths, to note strengths, to acknowledge strengths, to build off of strengths. So, as an example, when I have a client, let's say I'm helping her with a marketing plan or a marketing strategy, I'm listening really carefully to this client's strengths. Is she really good in person? Or is she a really great writer? Does she have a way with people? You know, and the strategy that we're going to create is going to be based on her strengths. I'm going to not really, at least at first, prioritize any strategy that's has to do with her strengthening a gap. I'm going to go straight for where the gold is and for where the strength is, right? So if I have a client who loves to be out and about, we're going to be planning in-person workshops. Versus if I have a client who loves to write, we're going to be focusing more on that as a strategy. So you want to really be looking for client strengths. You want to be listening for their obstacles and their potential obstacles. You know, are they hiding? This can also be in the non-apparent clues, which is the next category, but you know, what are they scared of? Or also, you know, what might be a potential obstacle? So, for example, I happen to notice that this client's essential nature is that she's very thorough. She's very, very detail-oriented. Well, that can be a strength, right? And I want to take note of that. But that can also slow her down in certain ways. That's a potential obstacle. And as the coach, the more that I can be on top of that, the more I can help her leverage the strength instead of it becoming an obstacle. You want to listen. I know this one is really obvious. You want to listen for their wins and their celebrations, right? Any kind of progress or forward movement, and this goes back to growth mindset. It's not just about strengths, but it's about building on progress and forward movement, acknowledging it, you know, all of that. So you want to, even small wins, right, can be really important. You want to listen for that. You want to listen for has my client's goals or vision shifted since we started working together? This is really important. I'll pause on this one for a moment. No matter what kind of work you do, your client probably has some, it could be outer, it can be inner, some kind of goal, some kind of vision, right? That's why they've hired you. What can sometimes happen is through the work, the goal or the vision actually shifts, and it shifts because of the work that you're doing. But both the client and the coach might not catch that it's shifted. And then what happens is you're like, you go forward 3 months working on a goal that's actually totally stale and no longer aligned, kind of wasted those 3 months. I shouldn't say waste, nothing is ever a waste, but you know what I mean. So I want you to really be listening for, you know, every session, really. Are my client's goals, do I know what my client's goals are? Does my client know what her goals and her visions are? Has it shifted since we last spoke about this? And then last piece in you know, what I'm calling apparent clues, you want to be listening for who is influencing your client. That can sometimes be important and come into play, right? Who are they listening to in their life? Who are they modeling themselves after, right? So, you know, for me, again, with business coaching, sometimes I'll note that a client is listening to, I don't know, like one of those gurus that tells you you can build a seven-figure business in like a day. and all you need to build that business is like a member program or this kind of crazy funnel or whatever it is. Right? It's important for me to note who's influencing that client. You check my filters around it for sure. I definitely have a lot of filters and beliefs and biases around that. But then that will help me support the client more, either, you know, in that direction or move them back into a, you know, a different direction. So who's influencing the client? Let me get to the, I'm sure there's some questions around this. I'm talking a lot. Let me give you the third category here of what to listen for, and then we can open up for some questions. Non-apparent clues is what I call this third category. So things a little bit behind, underneath the surface that aren't readily apparent. So, for example, you want to be listening to see if something seems misplaced with the rest of the conversation. So, I should have thought of an example of this beforehand. Nothing's coming to mind right now. I'll post on Facebook. But if something is just different from the rest of the conversation, right? Like if the whole conversation is really excited and then all of a sudden there's something that's really heavy. So it can be energetic, but it can also be a content-wise. You know, if you're working on a project, like planning out a project for this person and you're strategizing and, you know, all of that, and then all of a sudden they mention my mother's coming to town for the weekend or my dog is ill or, you know, whatever. It's kind of misplaced with the strategy. You want to note that. There's something to pay attention to. It's something that, you know, may want to be addressed there. You want to listen not only for what the client is saying, but you want to listen for what the client isn't saying. So I do this all the time. I always listen, not just for what the client's saying, but for what the client isn't saying. For example, if they're in a new relationship, a romantic relationship, and they're telling me about the relationship, if they haven't said something around, you know, I feel just so excited and attracted about this person, right? They're just telling me he's this, that, and the other thing, right? Oh my gosh, they're not, you know, why haven't they mentioned that? Or I just recently had a conversation with one of my clients, and we were looking at what she wants next in her business. I was taking her through an exercise where I was actually having her look a little forward. Then the next year, we were looking 3 years out, and everything that she was sharing with me, like, it had very little to do with her current programming that she had now. So it's a great example of what the client isn't saying, right? So, yes, I was excited, and, you know, we wanted to plan based on this new vision and all of that, but it was really important to point out to her that she wasn't mentioning anything about X, Y, and Z offerings that she has right now. It's clear that those had become stale for her, and we actually want to let go of those sooner than later. You want to listen for, I already said this, but again, inconsistencies between who you know your client to be and what they're saying. You want to listen if the client repeats anything, right? Anything that gets repeated, either a particular word or phrasing or idea, that's important. You want to listen for what the client is becoming aware of and help her become even more aware of it. And then, of course, just, you know, throw back to our class from last week, in addition to all of the things that you're listening to for your client, you also want to listen to your own inner wisdom, your own intuition, your own hunches. You want to check your filters around them, but you want to bring those in as well. So take a moment and think about your own work with clients and your own practice. what are some, I want you to personalize this, what to listen for you. So what are some things that I haven't mentioned that for you in your work, you know, you want to listen for? So, you know, you can create a couple bullet points right now. For example, if you work with like relationships, you know, maybe you want to make a note for yourself that you want to always be listening to your client's willingness to put herself out there. Same thing can go for business coaching. So maybe a couple of bullet points for you. What are some of the things that maybe that I haven't mentioned that you know you always want to be listening for, you know, that it really relates to the work that you do with your ideal client? So one of my invitations for you is over the next week, I want you to, all of the things that I mentioned around what to listen for or whatever, you're coming up your own bullet points, see how many of these things that you can really listen for. Like, do it intentionally. You know, if you want, even after a client session, you can just make a list of, like, what are the things that I heard, right? And you can go, one of the sheets I'll be giving you this week is just basically a summary of all these different things to listen for. You can just go through the checklist and, you know, okay, this person's emotional state with was X, their pacing was Y, you know, and just see what information you can glean based on this. It's a great little practice to do for yourself. Okay, before we get to all of the homework, maybe there's even, oh, no, let's, so I'd love to hear what you're hearing for yourself. What are some of your takeaways, or what are some of your questions? Star two. I know I went quickly through the what to listen for, but any takeaways or questions on the what to listen for, the filters, anything that came up for you today, I'd love to hear from a couple of you. Star two. Jamie.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi,
everybody. I was back on the filters. I seemed like you kind of made this point, but I wasn't really so clear that I think we have to be really careful when we think we have the same filter as someone else. Like if we're both mothers, okay, we can understand the basic daily grind. But, you know, if our child is disabled and somebody else isn't, it, you know, they're, it doesn't always mean the same thing. If they're small filters, it's one thing. The traffic in New York, we all can agree pretty quickly on what that is. But something big like college education, you know, if I had a great experience and loved it and thrived and somebody else found it, you know, just alienating and they flunked out, we're not going to have the same impressions at all. So I just think until we winnow that down to the smallest and smallest and smaller kind of filters, biases, and so forth, we have to just keep being open to really trying to get at what the truth is without any kind of label that might put another limiter or block or obstacle between us and the client.
Yes, so well said. Absolutely, it's so important.
Okay.
The details really do matter, 100%. So glad you're bringing that forward. Thank you. Not sure who this is. Your international 1155.
Hello, Joanna. This is Ruth.
Hi, Ruth.
And yeah, hi. Yeah, so you talked about when you're on a client session and they have other issues that different from what you were meant to like talk about, that we need to like deal with that first.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had situations where so I'm a business coach, and I've had like times where my client got on their call, and she's having issues with her husband, and I don't have any training on how to deal with that. So it felt really, really awkward, mm-hmm. and I really couldn't help her because I just didn't know how to. So
yeah.
I'm just curious, like, how do you deal with situations like that where you don't have the skills to actually help them when they come up with, like, other things that different
mm-hmm.
from what they signed up for?
Yeah, it's such a great question. I'm so glad you're bringing it forward. So first of all, there's a couple things I'm going to say to this. It's such a juicy question. So first of all, I just want you to consider the difference between consulting versus coaching. And what I mean by that is, you know, with your clients, you're probably doing a fair amount of consulting on their business. You have experience on that. But actually, all of the skills that we're learning here in Sacred Depths are not specific to any one industry. They're really communication skills. Like, all of these skills are about holding space for other people, helping them get to their issues, their blocks, all of this. So, you know, for me personally, if someone brings these other issues in, I may not be able to tell them X, Y, Z in the same way that I can about business or about coaching skills or whatever, but I certainly know how to hold space, help them get to their blocks, you know, so on and so forth, because I'm using the coaching skills.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. But then, so I just want to kind of make that distinction for you, is that you probably have more skills than you think you do. But then that being
mm-hmm.
said, it's a personal choice, right? If you just feel like I don't really want to, you know, go there in my client sessions, you know, you can say, I think what's important is first just to call the elephant out. You know, it sounds like you're really scattered. It feels like, you know, whatever's going on with your husband is really in the way. You know, it's hard for you to take anything in around your business because this is going on, right? And then if you feel comfortable diving into the conversation about the husband with them because of your coaching skills, great. But if you don't,
mm-hmm.
then I think you can give some options, right? So the first option is, you know, I can't really, I can't really consult you on this, but my sense is, what if we just spend 5 minutes to create some space just for you to share, and I can just hold that for you, you know, like for you to share, and I can, if you desire, I can reflect back what I'm hearing and just kind of like help you get all of it out so that we can clear the boards to look at the business pieces, right? You know, and hopefully you don't want to do this next option just because of your time, but, you know, every now and again, it really is an issue of, do we need to reschedule, right? Because, you know, I've had clients get on the phone where, you know, they've just found out that a family member has passed, you know, 5 minutes before, you know, whatever it is. And it clearly, you know, I'll say to them, is this the best time for us to speak? And sometimes they'll say, no, can we reschedule? Other times they'll say, actually, this call is exactly what I need. Can we process this, right? So, again, each practitioner is different. For me, because I just feel comfortable with the coaching skills, I'll go into the topic. But if you don't, you can just create a nice little container within the container of the session to kind of get it all out, hold it, you know, whatever, move on, or you know, reschedule. How is all that landing for you?
Yeah, I think I really like the options that you've mentioned, and I think also that by doing this course, that I'll be able to really take on those coaching skills. So even when it's, you know, so even when they bring out other, you know, bring up all these other things, even though I might not really be able to, like, really help them, I could create that space for them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good. Great question. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So, let's see. What do I want to tell you before we wrap? I will do a Facebook Live later today about certification. In terms of homework, first of all, again, I don't want to push it. I don't want to push my agenda, but I really would love to hear from more of you. If you could post your takeaways on our Facebook group, what you're really seeing for you, it will be great. It also, the more I hear from you, the more I know what to plan for our future calls based on what you're needing. So if you can post your takeaways in our Facebook group, that would be great. There's two worksheets for you. Actually, it's one worksheet and one resource sheet. The resource sheet is just that kind of that checklist of all the things to listen for. The worksheet is all about your filters, your client filters. If you are working with a coaching partner, this week is going to be our first week of that. When I do the Facebook Live, I'll kind of get into the nitty-gritties of how to work that partner call, but the specific homework is for that coaching call. You know, you'll each coach for 20 minutes. Start, like we spoke about last week, create the container, ask what your partner's intention is for the call, what they want to receive, coach them for about 20 minutes, and then you'll have about 10 minutes to break down with your partner what just happened, and then you know, you'll flip partners. In the breakdown part, I want you, you know, you can talk about what worked, what didn't work, you know, all of that, but the piece from today that I want you to bring in is filters, right? So talk about your own filters that you really noticed during that call, and then also talk about any of your clients' filters that you may have picked up on the call, right? So you know, just discuss that in the breakdown to get deeper into the filter piece. Any questions before we wrap for today? Start to. Yeah. So your last numbers are 4309. Who is this? From Freehold? I should know. I know you raised your hand before.
Oh, hi, sorry, Dana, right? I had muted myself. I could post this in the Facebook group, too, because maybe, I don't know, maybe that'd be easier, because my question is not related necessarily to the content today, but just generally, since I am new, like this will be my first coach training and my first coaching skills, even though I'm working with clients, you know, teaching meditation. So my question is, when can we start, like, when would you recommend start playing with clients and seeing them? I mean, for money, I'm saying. To like,
yeah, it's a great question. So if you really don't have any experience, let's get to the end of January just to do some more practice with your coaching partners, you get some more information. You know, ideally, even, I think by the end of January, we'll be through our questioning module. So you'll have listening, creating awareness, and questioning. I think that's a great time to start. Now, you know, coaching the what based on the who, great example. You might feel the pull before then. If you do and you just intuitive feel like I really want to, go for it, right? So kind of notice yourself and your readiness and your excitement level and go from there. But I'd say if there was like a standard answer, wait till we get, you know, into our questioning module. You'll just feel more confident.
Awesome. Yeah, that's because I forgot what the whole like all the modules were and everything. So yeah, that's where I wanted to get with you, where the core of like the coaching stuff comes in, because all of this has been really juicy. And I mean, I'm already doing intuitive readings with people too, so I see how I can apply it to that. But
mm-hmm.
I want to wait to actually like, you know, start offering coaching until, you know, you think it's
yeah, and
be
definitely
best. So that feels good.
Use the partner time, like, you know, get some of those coaching partner sessions in, too. They're going to be immensely helpful.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, hopefully I'll see you guys on Facebook. And when we meet next week, we're going to have our first practicum. We're going to practice all these listening skills. I'm going to be talking a lot less. You're going to be talking a lot more. and I can't wait. The practicums are always just really special and powerful. So I'm thinking about each of you. I'm wishing you a wonderful rest of your day, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.